Sister Tina, do you have any prayer requests over there, sister? Do you want to say good morning?
Good morning.
Okay.
I'll read this first one, and then I'll add the other one to the... We have an update on Ashlyn Franklin, the young lady that was electrocuted at work. She was in a lot of pain yesterday after surgery number 9. The surgeon removed another sliver of muscle from the amputated arm, and her left skin grafts didn't take, so they'll need to be redone. Her next surgery is scheduled for Monday to see if her chest is ready for skin grafts. And let's keep her mom, Mandy, in our prayers as well. She's been there with her through all of it, and she's got a few other kids back here and grandkids, so I'm sure she's missing her time with them as well.
Yes. All right. Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we come before you for Ashlyn. Lord, we pray, God, for her. Number one, Lord, that you would alleviate this pain that she's dealing with. Lord, some of these skin grafts that haven't taken, and Lord, I know, God, that you're able to just make that skin grow back without the doctors having to do anything, Lord, and there be complete and total healing, Lord. We know if you could, when Jesus looked at that man and told him to stretch forth his withered hand, and he did, and it was made whole, God, and we know, God, of the lepers that were cleansed, and one came back and was praising you, and you said you'd be made whole, and his body was not just healed, but he was made whole, Lord. And we just know, God, that you're the same God today that you were then, Lord, and that you're still our healer. And we trust you for healing for Ashlyn. We pray for her mom, Mandy. Lord, I know that there's a lot of heartache, a lot of emotions there as she's watching her daughter in pain and different things, and all of the decisions that are having to be made. And Lord, we just pray for your grace and your strength in this time. Lord, we know that in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. Lord, when we feel just that we can't go another step, Lord, and we can't, but we know that you'll carry us. And we pray, God, that you carry them the duration of this journey. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to pray for the fires in Zambrano, Honduras, that is getting closer to the houses. This is where Neva and the Glazes go to minister. And then Laura Hillman was taken by ambulance to an Oklahoma City hospital last night about 10. She is in a battle with cancer. And then we also want to continue to pray for Christy Kirtley. Her son Jonathan was the one that was in the head-on collision with the semi last month. They've got him at home now, and she's going to be taking care of him. They have found a bed, so there's a praise there.
Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord, for Zambrano, Honduras, Lord, these fires. We pray, God, that you would just send some rains to help put those out, help those that are fighting those fires. We pray, God, that you keep your hand... protection about around those villages, those communities. We pray that you would just work mightily there, and those fires would be extinguished quickly, without any harm to life or individuals or homes. We pray, God, for that to be done. We pray for Laura Hillman for healing in her body. We pray, God, against this cancer that maybe trying to that is attacking her body. We pray that it would be turned in on itself and would attack itself and kill itself, really, and she would be made whole and entire and be a testimony of your glory. And we pray for Christy Kirtley and their son Jonathan. We pray, God, for healing in his body. We pray, God, for a full recovery for him, that you would just work in a way that only you can, that your name would be glorified, that you would give her strength as she is his caretaker at this time. I pray, God, for grace and strength there. And, God, that you would just let them feel you near through this trial, through this time. Just be with them. Lord, we pray for those fires in Richmond, Indiana, that are spreading near some of friends of mine. Pray, God, that those fires would be extinguished as well. And, Lord, that your name would be glorified here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Main Street Revival, April 27th through the 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. Address is 1101 North Main Street in Elk City, Oklahoma. The revival will be at the cross corner of Country Club and Main. Heart to Heart, Help, Hope, and Healing, Western Oklahoma. Forgiven and Set Free, a four-week compassion and confidential Bible study designed to help guide suffering and hurting women through the emotional scars of past abortion experiences. This study helps women deal with issues such as relief, denial, depression, anger, letting go, forgiveness, acceptance. Mondays only in the month of April. So you only have two more Mondays. It's from 6 to 7. For more information or to enroll, you can call 580-243-2229, Monday through Thursday, noon to 6.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Tell them stay tuned. Say stay tuned. Stay tuned. You'll get it. It's okay. It's your first time.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Tim Patterson. And it's a book review for Flickering Lights.
Yeah, Flickering Lamps. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Back to you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, Flickering Lamps, of course, obviously they're talking about the book of Revelation there. And I just want to kind of conclude this with reading a couple of things. I know y'all are just like, really? You're going to read to us? In the chapter about God's power, they made a statement in there that I was like, you know, I don't guess I ever thought of it this way. But it said in there, often we long for spectacular displays of God's infinite power in our churches. And we do, don't we? We're waiting for God just to, like, open up the floodgates of heaven and, you know, gold come pouring down or something and, you know, all of our needs are met and we don't have to worry about finances anymore or whatever. And we wish that God would just send some miraculously would let me try that again. We wish he would miraculously remove all of our problems or send us an enormous financial gift. But most often, God's power is experienced through the steady grind of ordinary living as we faithfully obey the last thing God told us to do. I cannot attest, and I'm like, well, duh. I mean, I've seen that. But, you know, we forget when we're going through life that God just shows up in some way you're just like, I did not expect that. I didn't, that wasn't on my radar. Anybody ever had that experience? I'll tell you right now, Cheyenne, Oklahoma was not on this boy's radar. I didn't even know Cheyenne existed until we moved to Elk City. I mean, we were going to be on the east. We thought we were going to be in eastern Oklahoma. We really did. Anyways, God just, or actually central Oklahoma, we just thought we were going to be anywhere but west Oklahoma. I'll just put it that way. But God led us here. And through the steady grind of daily living, we have seen God work. Just time and time again. That God just has carried. God has been faithful. We have, you know, it was a routine phone call to a pastor friend of mine who I knew had who I knew had construction experience, and I said, "Hey, I just need to ask you a couple questions on what I need to do to fix this floor." And he said, "Do you want to know how to do it the right way?" I said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Well, you're going to have to take that up and you're going to have to drop." And I was like, "I knew you were going to say that." But what I didn't know what was about to happen was he said, "Hey, you get that tore up. You get your material of what you need and you let me know. And I'll bring a group of guys up there and we'll get it done." Yeah. I'm going to tell you what was we'd have been looking at probably $5,000 to have done. Those men came up and in a day helped get that floor done. And thankfully, we were able to bless them and buy an ice machine that they were needing. But it was just through the daily grind. I mean, this guy had hardly knew me. He was not my pastor. He pastors my parents, and he started there after I had left. So he hardly knew me. But he took a moment and invested. He and those men from that church that did know me came up just daily, and God showed himself strong on our behalf in those things. It's wonderful when God just in the most ordinary things, God can show up. And I love when God shows up, he shows out, doesn't he? It's just something about God. And when we look for God's power, let me just say this. Richard Blackaby talked about this when he was pastoring in a church there, and it was also a church that had been in decline, and the Lord was helping him. And he said, "You know, we had a meeting, and I said, 'So y'all tell me about Sunday. What did y'all notice about Sunday?' And he said, 'Somebody said, well, our offerings were less than they normally are. Somebody said our attendance was down. They could find all of the bad things, right?' And he said, 'Okay, right, okay, but did anybody see Jan on the front pew?' 'Yeah, I did.' 'What'd you see Jan doing?' 'Man, she had her hands lifted through the whole time of worship. She was just worshiping God.' He said, 'Yeah. Y'all remember what happened with Jan a couple months ago?' 'Yeah, Jan tried to commit suicide.' Yeah, God did a work. 'Hey, did anybody see Michael?' 'Yeah, I saw Michael.' 'Yeah, y'all remember Michael, what happened with Michael a couple weeks ago?' 'Yeah, he got in trouble at school, and he was so terrified. He ran away from home, and there was just a panic in his parents. But did you all see Michael?' 'Yeah. I saw him sitting between his mama and daddy, worshiping God with his parents.' 'Hey, did anybody see Bill?' 'Yeah, I saw Bill. He was sitting back there with his wife.' 'Yeah. Y'all remember what Bill said?' 'Oh, yeah, I remember. His wife got saved, and Bill said he'd come for a little bit, and he's like, you know, you can go to that church, but I ain't going to that church anymore. But he keeps coming back. He said, did y'all see what happened with Bill on Sunday? Yeah. He came down to the altar, I think, is what he said. God's power is in his church, and sometimes we can get so focused on the things that are not there that we miss what God is doing among those that are there. You know, I on a personal level, she won't probably see this, but Easter Sunday, we try to do some scripture reading, and I needed somebody to read some scriptures. I could do it all, but I try not to do that because it's not a one-man show. And so I asked a young man, I said, hey, Jesse, or a man, I said, Jesse, can you read some scriptures for me? He said, yeah, I can do that. And his daughter said, I can read some too. I said, all right, girl, I needed to. And you know what? She's been stepping up to the plate. She got in. She served. She was like, how can I help? You know, and she's always been good to help. But to see God working in a teenager's life like that, and to you may seem little, but to me, who's pastored her for almost a year now, and seeing her stepping up more and more, and seeing other individuals, I'm telling you, I'm rejoicing in those little things because, you know, a journey of 1,000 steps begins with the first step, doesn't it? Of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And so what we see here is God is present in his church, and God's going to get the glory from his church. And if your church, if you go to a church that's in decline, I encourage you, be a solution. What if on Sunday morning you walked in with a mindset that, you know what, we have been in decline, but God, that is an opportunity for you to work. God, how can I be a part of you getting the glory? God, where are you working right now? God's not asking us to drum up something for us to do for him. We don't have to drum up things to do for God. There's not ministries we have to drum up. He's already at work in your community. God, show us where you're working and let us plug into that and let us be a part of it. And that's a challenge for me because y'all wouldn't know this about me. I'm a little introverted in certain areas of my life. When I'm in a group of people, I can be very extroverted. But on a one-on-one level, I'm very introverted. And it's just some things it's easier for me not to try than to risk failure. If you're a perfectionist, you go to one end of the spectrum or the other. Number one, you're very driven, and it's going to be perfect, and it's going to be your way or the highway, and it's going to be done, and it's going to be done right. Or you could go to the other end of the spectrum and say, you know what, I'm just not even going to try because I know I'm going to fail. And I tend to go that way. My wife tends to go the other way, and so we try to be in the middle. But I tell you to encourage you that there is hope for every church. There is no glory gonna come from a church closing its doors. There is not. God did not create a church and put an expiration date on it. There is no expiration date on the church. Now, if a community has died out and there's no longer a community there, then there. But a majority of churches that have closed their doors have been churches that are in heavily populated areas. And that's not God's will. It is never God's will for a church to close its doors. There is an answer for dying churches. And let me just read this. And the answer for the dying church is not always an easy thing to hear. Let me read this as I conclude. We talked about Christ's presence in his church. And remember, there were seven churches in the book of Revelation, and John saw this Christ in chapter 1, and he saw him marching and walking among the candle or the lampstands, remember, and talking to the churches. And remember, he had correction for just about every church. I've got something against you. You left your first love. You've got a lot of great things going. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll put all these other things on top of the area that we're neglecting, and think that Jesus is going to look past all of that thing we're neglecting because we put all this other stuff on top of it, doesn't work that way. It's kind of like having a termite-eaten foundation and putting a new house on top of it. It's going to crumble. And Jesus pointed out the very thing that was so important. You've left your first love. You need to get back to it. Repent. Do your first works over. He had, and what you love about Christ, the way Christ handled it with his church, is most every church, he complimented them before he corrected them. Now, there was one of them, there wasn't much to compliment. he just had to tell them flat out, you're blind, you're naked, you're poor, and you don't even know it. But hear me, go and buy clothing, go buy a salve for your eyes. And so Christ is among his church. And the hope of the church, the hope for every church is that the Christ that they believe and preach is among them, is ready to speak to them and ready to address their issues. And so I love how they wrote this. The risen Christ walks among today's churches. His fiery eyes look upon our congregation. He sees past our activities, programs, and doctrines straight to our heart. Are we as devoted to him as we once were? Have we kept our focus on his divine purpose as a congregation? Is our church clearly enjoying the pleasure and blessing of God? Is God working powerfully in our midst? Is the community around our church being significantly changed for good by our church's presence? Heed the words of the risen Christ. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. What a humbling statement, but such a true statement, and really a hopeful statement for the church, because the Bible tells us in Hebrews, he chastens those whom he loves. I've said it before, I'd rather hear God correct me than not hear from him at all. And so I encourage you, maybe you feel like your lamp's about to go out. Maybe you feel like the flame's flickering. I like what one man used to sing. Leon Buzzard used to sing a song, said, it's never gone out. Though Satan has tried so many times to make me doubt. But the flames have flickered, but the fire has never gone out. I wish I could remember all the words to it. But I encourage you, and this book, let me just preface that. Henry Blackaby was about in his 90s when they were writing this together. And there's also a DVD that goes with this that may be available. I don't know how difficult it would be to get, but we've been going through it as a church. And to hear a 90-year-old man look at people and say, God's not done with you. God's got a purpose for every individual, whether young, middle-aged, older. Listen, if you're an elder saint, I encourage you, please find a younger saint and attach yourself to them and invest in them, because guess what? That's what Scripture teaches us that you're supposed to do. And younger saint, find you an elder saint and attach yourself to them. And let them mentor you. And if you want to be discipled, I'm learning this and it's hard for me. But if you want to be discipled, you may have to seek it out. Sometimes that's just the nature of it. It's great when somebody finds you and pours into you. But sometimes you need to seek it out too. Because probably the people you want discipling you are probably very busy people, because they're busy doing something for the kingdom. But thank God for individuals that will disciple and invest. And I encourage you, if that's where you're at, if you feel like your faith has dwindled or you feel like your faith is dying, know that Christ is still present, walking not only among his church as far as the body, but his church as individuals. It was Paul by himself that had that experience with God. And before he began to preach to the church about getting a fresh vision of God, he got a fresh vision of God. And, oh, man, what would it be like for your grandchildren to say, man, Grandpa caught some fire lately or something. I don't know, but man, he just seems to be enjoying Jesus a lot more lately. Or, man, Grandma just seems to have a song like I haven't heard her have a song in a long time. Or, man, Mama's singing while she's doing the dishes. I haven't heard her do that in a while. There is just something about when you catch the fire of God and when you get a fresh vision of Him. And I just encourage you to do that and to make every effort. I said I was going to close out with that statement, and I don't want to make a liar out of myself. This is where they talk about at the end of this chapter. I can't even remember. Christ preeminent in His church. I'm gonna be honest. This is the last one I'm reading. Okay, you know, okay, you know, as I close for the third time, they said, though we were small in number, we dedicated everything we did to glorifying Christ. We believed that God received glory from worship when it came from a pure heart, rather than when it was merely done professionally. A number of university students found Christ in our church, and we often invited them to sing special music during worship services. Several dressed extremely casually. Some shared a word of testimony before they sang that raised some eyebrows due to their vocabulary choice. A few of them, quite frankly, weren't very good singers, but the singing was heartfelt and Christ was exalted. Sometimes when God does something, it's outside of what we're used to, but God's bigger than our tradition. I'm going to tell you, if somebody that was testifying and they, all they've known is cussing and everything, and they're giving God glory and they happen to accidentally drop something, please don't be that church member that gasps and goes, oh, I'm so offended. Hello? They're giving God glory the best way they know how. You know, maybe afterwards, let's, you know, have a conversation. But man, don't be that person. But I'm telling you, let God get glory in everything we do. If you're a nursery worker, give it everything you got. Amen. If you're a Sunday school teacher, man, what would it be? You know, your pastor would be ecstatic if you came out of Sunday school and said, hey, we had somebody get saved in Sunday school today. You invest and you pour out your heart and you catch that fire and get a fresh glimpse of Jesus, and there's no telling what God will do in your church. God bless you.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning from myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Tim Patterson. Sorry.
That's all right.
I've got a little buddy over here.
Barrett.
My new little buddy here. Yeah. And it has been the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Yeah. You want to tell them bye? See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.